You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus and Bears Wire, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. We're back with another heaping helping of Chicago Bears talk. And like we're starting to do here this offseason, we're expanding our NFL horizons a little bit here. We're looking around to the rest of the league and using this as an opportunity to get an early look ahead at the Chicago Bears schedule. We're not going too deep in terms of trying to call wins and losses here in June, but it does give us a good opportunity, I think, to sort of set the Bears up next to some of their other opponents, you know, with as much optimism and hype that has been building about Matt Nagy and company, the expectations for the Bears kind of continue to rise. But I think it's important to kind of contextualize that with the other teams in the league, because this is the time of year when everybody thinks their team is, they're making a playoff run this year. This is the year for pretty much every team. So we are going game by game through the Bears schedule. We did the Seattle Seahawks and week two on our last episode with Spike Friedman. No, it was an episode we had some audio issues with on our back end of our podcast hosting service, where some listeners on iPhones and Apple products were able to hear it, and I'm able to hear it fine on my computer, but a lot of Android users weren't able to hear the interview properly. It was a difficult issue, but I think we've got it mostly figured out as of now. So I apologize for those that struggled to listen to the last episode, but I promise this one should be good to go. It was recorded a little bit differently based on how we did it on the back end with our guest who covers the Arizona Cardinals. We're going to get into their quarterback situation, which includes some Mike Glennon conversation. They also have Sam Bradford and Josh Rosen there in Arizona. We'll talk about the potential of the David Johnson holdout and how that could impact the rest of their offense. And we'll also look at sort of the changes in the Arizona Cardinals defense, particularly in their secondary with the Honey Badger out of the picture and some just a whole new team with a new coaching staff, kind of in a similar feel to the Bears in that sense, but also a little bit more up in the air in terms of the quarterback position. And I think it'll give you kind of a good perspective of where another team kind of in this semi-playoff range starts to kind of fit. So joining us now on the Locked On Bears podcast is Seth Cox. And I know you might be thinking, are you guys related? No, we are not. We are two distinct separate Coxes. And Seth, he is the managing editor of Revenge of the Birds, which is the SB Nation site that covers the Arizona Cardinals. He is formerly of the Draft Breakdown podcast, which was the podcast for the now defunct DraftBreakdown.com. He'll be bringing back some sort of draft podcast here in the next couple of months with his co-host Justin Higdon. So you might want to follow him on Twitter so you could keep up for when that comes out. Seth and Justin are both NFL draft guys in addition to their Arizona Cardinals stuff. And you can follow Mr. Cox, the other Mr. Cox, on Twitter at SCoxFB. Seth, thanks so much for coming on the podcast to talk Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, no problem, Lauren, man. How have you been?
I've been good. You know, we're getting in this kind of dead time of the offseason. I'm sure you know when you're running things over there that content this time of year is, it's hard to continue to get posts and even podcasts up. So that's why we're starting to look ahead here to the Bears regular season opponents.
Yeah, and it should be fun. I mean, it's obviously, and we'll get into it, obviously it would be much more enjoyable if for, I think, both sides, if we get a Mitchell Trubisky and Josh Rosen matchup. But, you know, it should be fun nonetheless, because I think these are two teams where there's excitement, but it's cautiously optimistic excitement. You're not going, hey, this is a playoff team. Hey, this is a contender. You're saying, look, there are some pieces for both of these teams that you like. Now you want to see if they show up and kind of mature and grow together.
Yeah, it feels like the Cardinals are going through a lot of these same changes as the Bears. Steve Wilks in as head coach, Bruce Arians no longer there. What's kind of the feeling around the team in terms of, you know, the culture changing and the identity? Because, you know, it wasn't as though, you know, Bruce Arians left on this sort of sour note of leaving the team in the, you know, in the gutter and feeling like, the you know, they just need this massive overhaul. You know, he built a lot of stuff and they had a lot of success there and kind of was ready for his time to move on. What's sort of the feeling around how Steve is changing things there?
You know, it's just a different approach. It's a different message. I mean, different is an easy way to say it, but it's going back. You know, Arians was one of the best quotes in football. He was a guy that everybody loved to listen to talk, and Wilks is much more of the, you know, kind of Belichickian type of conversation. You know, he's gonna say what he needs to say. He's not there to give you a great quote. He's not there to hobnob with the media. And it's, you know, so from that perspective, it's different. From the player perspective, we haven't seen, or I guess heard, the kind of outlandish, boisterous conversation that again we heard from Arians on players and things of that nature. So it's just a different and new approach to things. When you look at it from the perspective of team philosophy, obviously Arians, everybody knows, is a guy that loves to throw the ball around and down the field. Wilks has preached kind of from day one, they're going to be a defense, run the ball type of team that really tries to control the pace of the game and control the flow of the game with defense and running the football. Obviously, now you have the added intrigue of the David Johnson holdout, and so we'll see how long that goes.
What's going on with the David Johnson holdout? Because I think I saw somewhere that, you know, the GMs expressed interest in getting him signed to a long-term deal. It seems like there's the both sides are, you know, it's not like a one-sided thing where team is refusing to budge and the player wants this outlandish deal. I mean, David Johnson's a phenomenal young running back, but he's just coming off of that injury. What's the situation with the holdout? And do you think a resolution comes, you know, relatively drama-free down the stretch here?
It sounds like the conversations has been had, you know, and again, just kind of trying to parse information from everything. It, from what it sounds like, is that the idea is that they're just a little bit apart in terms of money, and that, you know, David Johnson is going to be 27 in December this year. So he's, you know, despite only being in his fourth season, he's older, and that hurts him in that this is his potential kind of only big contract he's going to get. And so that means he kind of wants to cash in this one time and get money. And, you know, so kind of extrapolating all that, it sounds like there's been offers on the table and they just haven't found a number that makes both sides happy. And that's the hardest part with running backs right now. And we're seeing it, you know, obviously with Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh, is that it's hard to find numbers that match because there's no market. And so, you know, Devontae Freeman is, I believe, in terms of just pure numbers, is the second highest paid running back behind Bell. Allegedly, the Cardinals were willing to go above that. And it doesn't help, obviously, the Le'Veon Bell situation, because Johnson's probably 1A in terms of that running back rankings of a guy that does it all, you know, just behind Le'Veon Bell, because he's done it for longer. And they can't get anything together. So could you be looking at another Le'Veon Bell type situation where David Johnson gets franchised, you know, the next two seasons, you know, in 2019 and 2020, maybe?
Well, since we're already talking about Johnsons, let me tell you about our friends at Blue Chew. Blue Chew is the first chewable little blue pill with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So you know it's got the stuff inside it that works just as well as the competitors. But what sets Blue Chew apart is the fact that it's chewable. So it gets into your system up to twice as fast as the pill, and you can take it any time of day, so you can always be ready when that opportunity arises. It's prescribed online, and it ships straight to you, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. You don't have to go in and have those awkward visits and conversations with your doctor. And it's made in the USA, of course, so that's what puts the blue in Blue Chew. Right now, we do have a special deal for Locked On Bears listeners. If you visit BlueChew.com, it's B-L-U-E, Chew.com, you can get your first shipment free if you use our special promo code Locked On. That's L-O-C-K-E-D-O-N. All you have to do is pay shipping and handling, and BlueChew.com will ship you your first shipment of their blue pill free with that promo code Locked On. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Bears. We're talking Arizona Cardinals with Seth Cox from Revenge of the Bird. Seth, with this quarterback situation having some, you know, there's names there. I mean, does that put more pressure on the Cardinals to try and get more, you know, to get this David Johnson situation figured out? Because, I mean, Sam Bradford, we've seen him play at a high level in the past, but we didn't really see much of that last year with the knee injury and some sort of long-term concerns there. And Josh Rosen's still kind of developing behind them, and Mike Glennon, and I don't even know if that's worth a conversation in that quarterback room either. But how does the quarterback situation play into the David Johnson situation? And I guess what's your confidence level in the Sam Bradford-Josh Rosen combo?
You know, the David Johnson, the whole saga is huge because he's basically the focal point of their offense. And obviously I would imagine that's part of the whole thing is the agent saying, hey, you know, you're going to expect this guy to touch the ball 400 times, guarantee him some money so we don't have an issue. Cause guess what? You can lean on Sam Bradford and then have to go to Josh Rosen if the inevitable injury happens for Bradford and, you know, you could be down two quarterbacks or you know, really stunt a Josh Rosen's growth or something like that. And so there's definitely a power play that's being made right now in Johnson's camp. And it makes sense from that because it changes the dynamic of this offense completely with David Johnson out there. And so when you look at this quarterback room, you like the names. I know the Glennon experience for you guys was not exactly great, but but if Mike Glennon was brought in, you know, for $3 million a year to be your third string quarterback, it's a whole different perspective than Mike Glennon being brought in for $17.5 million to be your starter, right? Like, so that's what the difference is, yeah, for the Cardinals this year, is that Glennon's there to help teach Josh Rosen, kind of like he did Trubisky a little bit, you know, the ropes of being a pro and how to work in the film room and things of that nature. And then if Rosen struggles when he has to take over for Bradford, then at least you have a veteran presence there, as opposed to, you know, kind of what happened last year with the Bears.
So then is this truly being presented as an open quarterback competition for training camp and stuff? And I guess if you know, Rosen ends up on the bench, how long of a leash do you think there would be for Bradford, presuming he is the starting quarterback?
I honestly don't think there's a really much of a competition. I think the team's going in with the idea that Sam Bradford's our starting quarterback, and then if Rosen plays well, he'll take over. But until Rosen can show the staff and he's ready to be the guy, that they're going to let Bradford have the year. And so I think as far as a leash goes, I wrote about the other day, I really don't see a way that Bradford gets benched, because we're talking about a guy that's been pretty much consistently the same guy since he got into the NFL. I mean, he's not a dynamic passer. He's very conservative, but he's highly accurate. He doesn't take chances. And so his interception numbers are always fantastic, and he typically does a really nice job. And you want that as opposed to a potential rookie coming in and maybe, you know, overextending himself and trying to do too much early on, especially, like I said, this isn't the most dynamic roster right now in terms of skill player talent. And now it can develop, but you're talking about Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson, and then a lot of young question marks or unproven kind of veterans. So I think the team and the organization is looking at this as, hey, this is Sam Bradford's year. Let's let him have it, and then we'll go from there.
That was the same message the Bears gave Mike Glennon last year. This is Glennon's year, and then we'll let Trubisky take over. I mean, obviously, I'm not necessarily trying to say Bradford is Glennon, but you know, even the best laid plans sometimes don't go as expected. Well,
and I think the difference is we know that Glennon kind of stunk. I mean, like, he was just kind of a guy, whereas and he turned the ball over a lot. And that's if Bradford is, you know, kind of changes who he is as a player and starts to turn the ball over too much, then I could definitely see it. But I think it's going to kind of be the opposite, is that fans are going to start getting restless. If the Cardinals are losing games, like, you know, 21-14 or 21-13, because they're not scoring touchdowns. But overall, I really do think that this team is planning on, like you said, kind of best laid plans of Bradford being the guy. But then you've got the giant elephant in the room of Bradford. Really, I mean, he hasn't proven that he can stay consistently healthy. And so I think that's where I think Glennon comes in to play more than anything else, is that you've got a guy in Glennon that, God forbid anything happens to Bradford, you feel way more comfortable with a Mike Glennon being your backup than you do, you know, a fourth round pick or something like that. So I think that's where they're at with this whole thing, and you'll go from there kind of.
You're listening to Seth and Lauren Cox, no relation, talking Arizona Cardinals on Locked On Bears, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. What's the plan with the changes defensively here? I mean, Tyrann Mathieu released in kind of the quote-unquote controversy around that. I know they let Tremont Williams and Tyvon Branch go and maybe got a little bit younger in the secondary. You mentioned the number two cornerback spot being a little bit up in the air with Brandon Williams and Benay Benwicure from formerly a Carolina Panther under Steve Wilks. How's this secondary in particular going to take shape? And I guess, where does the defensive identity go now under Steve Wilks?
You know, it sounds like right now that everything's kind of up in the air. You have, obviously, you're starting, you know, your starters all at right defensive end, which is going to be Chandler Jones. You know, your three linebackers right now are going to be Deion Buchanan, Josh Bynes, and Hassan Reddick. And then, you know, three of your four starters in the secondary, obviously, you're going to have Patrick Peterson, and then you'll have Bethea and Buda Baker. But the whole question mark of the defense is going to be, you know, is Marcus Golden healthy enough to come in and start at the other defensive end spot? If not, they're going to go with Benson Mawaya, a guy they signed from Dallas who 2 years ago had, I believe, six sacks as a part-time player. And so, you know, he's obviously shown that he's a pretty good pass rusher. We'll see what he can do if he's given kind of a full-time job early. And then the bigger question mark, like you said, is going to be what they have at that opposite corner. They traded basically nothing for Jamar Taylor, who struggled as a second round pick for the Miami Dolphins, played really well after being traded to the Cleveland Browns, and got a kind of a second contract reward, and then struggled again with the Cleveland Browns. So what is Jamar Taylor? What can he do? Those are going to be the questions that have to be answered. And then the interior defensive line, kind of the strength outside of obviously the phenomenal linebacking core of Carolina, but the strength of that Carolina Panthers defense was up the middle. I mean, when you have Star Lotulelei, Kawan Short, and then Luke Kuechly, and now you come to the Cardinals and you go, okay, well, what do they have in Robert Kimdiche? He hasn't really shown anything in 2 years. Who's going to play that star role? Right now it's going to be veteran Corey Peters, who's had two Achilles tears, but has been a very steady and solid player when healthy. And then obviously, like I said, you're going to have Josh Bynes in the middle, and Josh Bynes is a nice player, but he's no Luke Kuechly. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of questions on the defense that has a lot of talent. The question becomes, can Steve Wilks and new defensive coordinator Al Holcomb pull all of that talent out of that group? And if so, you know, how does that manifest itself on the field?
So where does that put the team in terms of like expectations this year? You know, it seems like a lot of moving parts offensively and some question marks there. And then everything we just talked about on the defense. I mean, they went 8-8 last year. And still, I think, was like what, third in the division at 8-8. And you know, some teams kind of look for that first year head coach, that bump to, you know, make that turnaround. And it seems like this might be a little bit of a longer term type, you know, not quite a rebuild, but a retool type strategy. So in terms of general success expectations this year, I mean, is 8-8 kind of that mark that you're shooting for here? Or do you think, you know, they'll be happy, you know, a few wins less than that? Or what's kind of the feeling about where this team should be in year one?
I think a lot of people see this team as like a 7-9 win team, a team that probably lacks a little bit from an offensive perspective, that needs a lot of things to break their way right now. But that, and that's probably going to have some growing pains on the defense. I mean, dominant defenses don't develop overnight. And while a lot of the personnel is the same, they're all going to be learning new scheme, and question, and, you know, new kind of what they're supposed to do on the defensive side of the ball, or, you know, requirements and their jobs. So it's going to be just a little bit different in terms of that. But from the perspective of everything else, there's a lot of veteran talent on this team, and there's a lot of just in general talent that they feel like they can, you know, that they can be competitive, they can be close. Again, it may not bear out a 10-win season, but they can be close enough where they can steal some games that they maybe shouldn't, and that they'll win games that they should and end up, you know, in that 7-9 win range.
One last thing before I let you go here. I wanted to ask you about Earl Watford, because the Bears signed him from the Cardinals this past offseason. Not someone I would characterize as a good offensive lineman, but, you know, 22 starts, I think, in his 4 years with the Cardinals, you know, bounced around a little bit of versatility to be able to play at least multiple guard spots. I think he played some tackle there too, if I'm not mistaken. What do you remember about his time in Arizona? And can the Bears expect anything particularly positive from him?
I think he's a really nice, you know, kind of 6-7 offensive lineman. Like you said, a guy that can do some spot starts, that can work his way through the interior, but also play tackle if need be. And all of that, you know, lends itself to being a kind of a productive depth guy on the offensive line. You know, I wouldn't expect much if he's a starter, but like I said, as a depth guy, as a spot starter, as a guy that can come in and play, give you reps, meaningful reps, and do it at a high level for a couple, you know, series if somebody's hurt. I think he's strong that way for you.
Well, you were definitely strong with your Arizona Cardinals analysis for us here on Locked On Bears. It's been a pleasure having you on, Seth. Remind everybody again where it is that you do your Cardinal stuff and where they can find you on Twitter and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I'm with Revenge of the Birds. I'm the managing editor there for the SB Nation site. And then you can follow me on Twitter at SCoxFB. Do some football talk and answer some Cardinals questions every once in a while. Not as active as I used to be, but you can follow me there. And if when during the season, I'm a little more active. So,
well, hopefully we'll be back in touch with you some point before week three. Maybe we'll preview that game when we get to the regular season. But it was a pleasure having you on today, Seth. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Lauren. Have a great one.
Well, thanks again to Seth Cox for joining us on the podcast today. If you enjoyed our conversation and are looking for some more Chicago Bears talk in your ears, be sure to subscribe to Locked On Bears on whatever podcast listening app it is you choose to use. can pretty much find the podcast on all of them. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, you name it. We're pretty much everywhere podcasts can be found. We'll be continuing the Bears early schedule previews here this week with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Chicago Bears week 4 opponent. Another team in this schedule that's kind of these fringe NFC playoff contending teams. And it's, you know, you kind of step back and look at it. And as much as, you know, the last two teams, the Seahawks and Cardinals, have kind of taken some steps back, at least on paper last year, this is a difficult early stretch to the season. You know, the Buccaneers, as much as they were, again, only a 5-11 team last year, I think, and when we talk with our friend Trevor Sikkema later this week from PewterReport.com, I think you'll start to get a feel for another team in this sort of playoff hunt, and it adds some credence to just the difficulty of the Bears' schedule this year, that it's going to take some pretty strong efforts, particularly early on, to get this team to live up to the expectations that are starting to build. You know, I think a lot of teams, especially this time of year, they have these positive expectations and this hype and this excitement for the season, and certainly not all of these teams are going to be able to find success, but you're starting to see sort of where the Bears might fall into this category with some of these other teams, and we'll see exactly how well they'll be able to separate themselves. We'll also try and mix in maybe some more solid Bears talk podcasts here in between now and training camp as we kind of go through these early schedule look-aheads. But we'll try and mix in some Bears topic, especially if some sort of Bears news or any kind of rumblings happen with this roster. We'll get it in for you. Locked On Bears is your source for Chicago Bears news and analysis. I hope you'll keep it locked this offseason on Locked On Bears, and always bear down.